Welcome to the Tim Fowler Show, where production is paramount and we discuss the tools, time, and people associated with getting jobs done and making a profit. On today's episode of the Tim Fowler Show, we will be talking about bonuses and incentives, episode 4, with the help of special guest Doug Panazzo of Hogan Design and Construction in Geneva, Illinois. Alongside Tim Fowler, I am your co-host, Steve Wheeler. Here is the Tim Fowler Show.
Hey, everyone out there. Tim Fowler here, and welcome to this episode of the Tim Fowler Show. Keep your ideas coming in. I received one the other day from a fellow that wanted me to talk about and get some guests on about when to hire an estimator. So you can look forward to a couple of episodes on that as we are moving into the new year, this being 2021. And so so I'm just wanted to make sure you understood that when you send me those emails, they don't get filed away and thrown away. I actually do listen and pay attention. So ever since about 1992, when I started yakking about production management, talking about the lead carpenter system to start with, and then we gradually migrated into project management in the remodeling industry. Bonuses, incentives, motivating people has been a hot topic. And I'm not exactly sure why, but it seems to be popping up again. Now it may be that because of what we would call the human resource crisis that we're in, maybe companies are saying, hey, we need to hold on to people a lot more. We need to make sure we're taking care of people so they'll take care of us. But for whatever reason, I just felt like this would be a great format, a great topic for us to have on the podcast. Now, As I've said for the last three episodes, I've assembled a cast of characters. Two of the characters you've heard from before, our guest today you've heard from before, and we had two new ones. And I hope you've enjoyed the last three. If you haven't had a chance to listen to them, go back and listen to them. They're really great, and they'll give you a lot of ways to look at this situation. So, now, each one of the guests has a new way of looking at it, their version of how we approach it. And I think it's kind of great to just hear different ways. Now, as I've said before, I've asked the guests not to talk dollars and cents. We do have competitive issues all across the country with this. And so just giving percentages as needed and trying to outline how they're doing their bonuses and incentives. So, Steve, let's get started with episode 4.
Okay, Tim, let's get started. Doug Panazzo is a production manager for Hogan Design and Construction in Geneva, Illinois. He has been with the company since October 2017. He came from outside the industry from a tech company and moved into the production manager role with Hogan almost 2 years ago. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you very much, Steve and Tim. I'm glad to be here. It's an honor.
All right. So I mentioned in the intro that you'd been on the show before. So just give us like a reminder of the company that you work for. What's it like? What volume are you doing? How do you do your production? Do you have lead carpenters? Do you do project managers? Give us a little rundown on that so everybody understands a little bit about the context.
Absolutely. So Hogan Design and Construction, we have in-house design and we run a project manager system. We've got five project managers that run about 7 to 8 projects each. That's including projects in planning, production, and punch list. We have a handful of in-house carpenters and laborers, and we are doing, on average, between 8 and 10 million in revenue this year, closer to the 10.
Wow. Okay. So let's get started on this bonuses and incentives. And I've asked everybody this question to kind of get started. So do you believe that the financial bonuses that you have in place are incentives for your team?
So thinking of it that way, I would say it's not necessarily an incentive. It's like a subcategory of an incentive. There is, I think, many different facets of ways to incentivize and motivate your team. But this would be one of the smaller subcategories that help the financially motivated
team. Okay, so basically they aren't equals, but they the bonuses participates in some way in motivating and keeping people moving along, I guess would be the way to say it. Is that kind of a good way to say it?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So now, before we get into the details of your system, what motivated this? Now, it may have actually been in place before you became production manager, but what was the driving force behind the system that you have now? And maybe give us, like, where did it start and how did it move to where it is now?
Yeah. So the bonus structure, actually, since I started with the company, has changed four times, and okay. It keeps getting better and better for the team, which is great. And it becomes more and more measurable and motivating is really the goal. So it started as this, like, what's a positive motivator for the PMs to hit their metrics. And we know what the three most popular metrics are: happy customer, under budget, and on time. So rather than saying, hey, your job responsibility are these three things, and that's it, so do those things or you're not doing your job right, we wanted to keep the guys focused on those every single day in the midst of everything else going on. So like I said, it's developed and changed four different times throughout the time I've been here. And now it's become something that's very easily definable and measurable, so that the guys know where they're going to land as they're running their projects.
So can you kind of give us those steps? What were the steps in the evolution, or if there was just two steps or whatever?
Yeah. So at first it was mostly like customer satisfaction was the starting one and budget. And then it developed into including a scheduling bonus, because then they're like, oh, well, if I could stay under budget and keep the customer happy, the schedule will go a little bit longer with punch list, and we wanted to narrow that in. And then we started on like bringing in leads from previous customers and new customers, and then just more fun competitive ones, like, which I'll go into detail, but like at end of year, and if you get a certain amount of all five surveys in a row. So it's kind of like little ways to make it more competitive, like mini games within the bonus structure.
Now, would it be fair to say, Doug, that you kind of waited to master the each step before you added components to it? Because it would feel confusing to me anyway, if like, okay, hit your budget and your schedule. Oh, and by the way, you know, I'm not doing that yet, but if I do five more things, I can get a little bit more. Was it added in as you went along?
Yeah. So yeah, it was definitely, we needed to have a good tight grasp on whatever we rolled out from the start. Right. And then once the guys were noticing the impact financially, and it was changing the way that they focused on every aspect of the project, then we'd say, oh, well, you know what? Why don't we dial it in on the schedule? So let's do this scheduling bonus. And then, oh, you know what? I see that you guys are talking a little bit about who's got the most perfect surveys in a row. So let's make that a competition, and let's put a driver behind that too. So yeah, we'd get something tied down. We'd feel really secure about it, and we'd move on to the next thing that keeps driving. And I would imagine probably in, within the next 9 months, I'm sure there'll be something new and fun for the team.
Yeah. We'll have to follow up on that.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of companies have trouble getting the financial bonus to really take hold with the people that do control what's going on the job site, project managers, lead carpenters. And so did you guys have trouble kind of getting it to take hold with the project managers, or did they generally go like, yeah, this is great, we're going to see if we can hit these metrics?
I think at first it started with this mindset like, oh, that sounds fun. Because it wasn't like, oh, we're going to imply this bonus structure and reduce your salary. It was, this is on top of what you're doing now. Right. So at first everyone's like, that sounds great. We'll see if we hit it. But then it took us actually having to use some examples so they could visualize it. So we took a project, very round numbers, and said, hey, if you were to do this with the budget, if you were to do this with the survey, and this is what the GP percentage is on that project, this is where it would land. So then they visualize it, which is great. But then we'd start applying it to projects. And as soon as they started seeing it actually show up on paychecks, then it was like real quick that it turned around and they're like, oh yeah, okay, now I need to make sure.
Yeah, I think that tends to be the way that I think the opposite of it is when everybody talks about it and then it doesn't show up on paychecks and everybody gets discouraged. It can be really demoralizing. Was there anything that you guys did special that made sure the team would be winners, or was it that the jobs were already pretty well funded, therefore it wasn't a big stretch to hit some of these numbers?
Well, some of them, well, I guess to put it, to answer the question, there's a minimal bonus structure that's tied to, like, if you land 100% on budget. So at least if the guys did their job the right way, and they landed right there and it was estimated the right way, and we have that kind of tied down, there was something tied to it. So it wasn't some sort of outlandish pipe dream. The guys saw it realistically. They saw where they landed on previous jobs because we were already looking at the autopsies after the projects. And then now we were able to dial it into based off of actual metrics and say, okay, well, if I were to land this percentage, then I get this dollar.
Okay, great. So let's just talk about what you've got going on. And so you've mentioned, I don't know, five or six different things already, but give us, like, how does it work? What is the basic framework? What are the components? And maybe what are the percentages that are associated with those components?
Okay. So there's quite a lot of information when it comes into that. I guess starting there, as far as how we manage what we have coming, like the actual bonus structure itself. So we do a plan sheet system where we do a pass back between the project manager and myself when they're planning a project. So I'm able to take a look through the project with them separately from our job site visits and whatnot. So through that actually helps me enter it into my metrics so I could measure it as we go through the project, and the team is then visually doing it too. So this way there is some, a good balance of me being able to watch over what's going on and make sure that things are being reported accurately. And then I keep metrics going throughout projects and afterwards, so we're able to do it. On the actual bonus structure. So first we have the budget bonus. So if a project lands in at their cost of goods, so we're looking specifically at their cost of goods, they've got their budget for their cost of goods. If they're between 100% and 97% of utilizing that budget, then they will get 1% of the gross profit. If they're between 96.99 and 94%, they get 2% of the GP. 93.99 to 90, 3%, and under 90% is 4%. So that budget bonus is tied to, are they shopping? Are they looking for different discounts? Are they, using coupon codes on from different vendors? Are they, talking to different trade partners and having different people bid that same project?
Okay.
So that's your budget bonus. On the customer satisfaction, so we use Guild Quality. We'll send out a midway survey and a shortly after completion survey. And we base the actual bonus structure off the shortly after completion survey. The midway is kind of like a feeler, and then how do we turn it around if there's anything that's not ideal? So if one of the project managers gets all fives on their Guild Quality survey, they would get 3% of the GP. If they have less than three fours, they'll get 2%. If they have threes and above, so like three, fours, and fives, they'll get 1%. And if they have any twos, that's no survey bonus. And if they have any ones or zeros, it actually disqualifies them from a survey bonus, a budget bonus, and a scheduling bonus. They get disqualified from all of them because the customer's not happy. So it doesn't really matter where you land on everything else.
Yeah, it just strikes me that you'd have to be pretty bad to fail a bonus on the guild quality survey, because generally what I've seen from the companies that we host on this show anyway, is it's fours and fives pretty much across the board. And always fours because people don't want to give you a five.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. So so we've got budget. We've got customer satisfaction.
What would be next? Conversations about guild quality and our surveying. So the project managers are having more thorough conversations, and they have to-do reminders throughout the project every 2 weeks to be talking to them about that and talking to them about online reviews and things of that sort.
Right. Okay.
Which online reviews is one that we are constantly pushing for online reviews too. So the guys have different competitions. They ask their customers to post up online and post pictures of their projects. But then we have the scheduling bonus. So scheduling bonus is a little bit harder to visualize, but if a project manager lands 100% on schedule, they planned out the job and it is the day of final inspection or final clean, and that's when they've completed their punch list. So not just substantially complete, but they're done with everything. Then they get a 1% gross prop GP bonus. Now, every day prior to that, so if they were able to tighten up the schedule and land a few days early, they get extra 0.1% added on to that. And every day after that, they lose 0.1%.
Okay. So
they'll start at 1% of being directly on time. 2 weeks later of slippage without any change orders, they'll end up losing that 1%. Now, change orders are part of this too. So if it's approved change orders, and within that change order, we specify, okay, you added this scope of painting and it added 4 days to your schedule. Now that adds on to what their original predicted days were. So that does affect it. And all of those do have to be approved by myself too. So they're not adding like 100 days of change orders because customer's not reading it fully through. So I'm overseeing it, but that will end up adding to it. And then that way they have everything fair, change orders all inclusive.
Okay. All right. And I guess the point you're just making is that by engaging with the project manager at the beginning of the job, you're making sure they're not adding like 100 days fluff because, you know, and again, I've always said, if you have a problem like that with your project managers, you probably need different project managers.
Yeah.
But the idea, business owners are probably going, well, they're just going to add 3 weeks, so they'll make their bonus every time. And I don't think that's true, but I just want to emphasize to everybody out there in podcast land that Doug is watching these things, but also then trusting his team to be honest about what it's going to take.
Yes. And there is definitely a high level of trust with all aspects of what the guys do. So if we couldn't trust them, they wouldn't be a good fit nonetheless. However, right. Everything has checks and balances. So when the guys originally plan their project, I am the one who fully approves before they release that schedule to the customer and to the trade partners and go live with it. So I've now said, this is a realistic schedule. You don't have all this buffer in it. And at the same time with the change orders, I'm the one who says, yes, that does sound like 3 days, or no, that's not necessarily 10 days of added schedule. So all of it's approved, and I do have a spreadsheet that I'm tracking it, so I don't have to remember what happened on this project. I planned it 7 months ago.
Yep. Okay. Good. Budget, guild quality, schedule. What else?
So we have a couple of more random ones. So like the guys will have if they bring in a new customer, and it is not a previous customer, if we close that sale and we do actually do the project, they'll get 1% of the total sale. So similar to a commission on a new sale. If a project manager brings back a previous customer, they always want to work with their previous customer. So they're automatically going to want that to be their project. And if they get all fives on their survey after they brought them in, they get extra 1% on that. So rather than 3%, they'll get 4%. So we're again tracking that to see what their, ahead of time. Oh, you brought this previously then.
Okay. All right.
So Doug, is this under one complete umbrella as a bonus? I'm hearing a lot of different levers and I'm wondering how you're tracking all of this.
Yeah. I'm utilizing that metric spreadsheet to know where we're at with each project. So I'll tie in change orders and GP and total sale and everything in there, scheduling, change order days added, and all this. And then we do an autopsy at the end, and we'll dive through every aspect of the project, the good, the bad, and things that don't necessarily tie to bonuses, but then it dials into the bonus, and then the guys have tracking so that they know what they've done throughout the year and how successful they were with their projects.
So okay. If they bring in the new client, it gets tracked on the metric spreadsheet, or is this a separate sheet? Where is that tracked?
It's actually both. So we utilize Builder Trend for project management. That's what we use for lead intake as well. So if a lead comes in, now it's easy when a project manager says, hey, I'd like to schedule an estimate over here for this customer that we had. But another time is if the customer calls in and said, I've been talking to this project manager about this, and I want to roll through with this. So we're constantly looking at lead intake and where what resource they came in from. So if they mention a project manager, it goes right into there. We also do the same thing for customers. If a customer says, my neighbor did a project with you and they mentioned it, we do have a thank you for customers sending us business as well.
So the project manager doesn't have to sell the job. Nope. They just have to get the lead in the door, and then somebody else is going to sell it.
Yeah. And they're always trying to sell no matter what. Like they're doing partner dust letters to the neighbors next door saying, hey, sorry, if there's any debris or loud noise or the way the guys are parking bothers you, please call me directly. Also, if you need anything done on your house, here's my business card. And they're constantly looking for it. They're at Starbucks getting a coffee and someone mentions something they're going to do. They're going to give out their business card and have them call them direct and then set that up. They do. On times, the guys have been interested in going on sales calls because they are very motivated and see the benefit of all this. And we do have a commission structure similar to like a salesperson, and we have that going on. But if a salesperson goes on an estimate, we've vetted that call and we go on the estimate, they're getting a gift card, a $20 gift card nonetheless, just for bringing something in. So that is it. Like right off the bat, they're going to get something small. And then if we actually close that sale, then they're going to get a large, a good commission on it.
Okay. What else?
So, all right. So one of the newest ones that we just started within the last 6 months is the guys were kind of competing over how many all five surveys they could get in a row. They want like perfect surveys. So right now, the highest streak we have is 8. We had a guy who got a 4 2 months ago, and he was at 9 surveys, and he was like fuming. He was like, I can't believe I got a 4. I was going for 10. And so they're very like competitive and exciting. So we actually put together all 10, all 5 surveys in a row, like gift to them. And so we put like 10 really nice gifts together, and they can pick and choose out of it. And it's like either a weekend away at a hotel with a family, or a very expensive dinner in the city, or something nice, or something real nice. Like there's a whole, or a tool set. There's like a whole bunch of things, but they're very high end, because for us, that customer satisfaction is our number one most important metric that we measure.
Right.
So on the bottom end of that, if they do really bad on surveys, they don't get the other bonuses. On the top end of that, to get 10 in a row, then they have bragging rights, but also there's something really good that they could bring home with them.
So now, again, my world, my experience, business owners are out there thinking about this. Now, do you have any assurance that they're not telling their clients, look, if you give me all fives, I get to go away with my wife for the weekend?
No, not necessarily. I don't think there's a level of customer that is unhappy that would take that in and be like, oh yeah, I'm unhappy with this, my main contact, and would go give them all fives. So I also have plenty of those conversations too with the customer. So I'm doing bi-weekly job site visits. And at the end of the project, I do a final walkthrough with the customer as well. And I'll bring up the survey and I'll say, hey, there's going to be the survey coming out. His metrics are based off of that survey. So let us know how he did, because it's specific to how he managed the project.
Right.
And so I'm sure the guys say, hey, I would love great reviews on the surveys. It's going to do a lot for me. I'm sure they say that, but that's also having that relationship with the customer. Once you build that relationship, they want to come back to that same project manager and they want to come back to us specifically.
Really, really cool stuff. Yeah. All right. Anything else? I mean, as if that's not enough.
Well, we do have an end of year. It's based off of total budgets. And that's something that we rolled out last year, and we were throwing out ideas and letting PMs develop it. And then this year we've decided, okay, beginning of 2021, we are going to actually have a very specific tiered budget structure based off of all of your projects and where they land as a whole on their budgets.
Now, you've mentioned a lot about the project managers. Is there anything in your bonus world that hits those handful of carpenters that you mentioned when you said you had them on your team? What is there anything that hits them?
Yes. So we wanted something that was more measurable, because a lot of things that were out of their control, they were actually getting bonused on. But we are going to be doing a profit sharing starting in 2021 as well. So there will be a profit sharing program for office team and for field team. But the guys, actually similar to Guild Quality, if any of our field guys are mentioned in a survey, they get $100 bonus right away. So that's a given. If I get like gleaning reviews when I do a job site visit, automatic $100 bonus to them, because that's something that they excel with, is always in front of the customers. They're there, they're helping. They're like, oh, you need help moving that couch, or oh, I'm going to bring the garbage cans up the driveway for you, or here, I grabbed this package up front. So they're very courteous, and that's kind of the white glove service that we give to our customers, and they get mentioned all the time. So then on the very next check, they get $100 bonus, and it's that motivator that keeps them going. And they also, the project managers from time to time, will give out bonuses, almost similar. We will track it like it's a cost of good, as a labor cost, really, out of a project. But they'll say, these guys hustled. They got done in 5 hours what I had them scheduled for 8. And so can we please give them a bonus? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So
now let me just key in on this, because this is something that I've tried hard to push to people, and I don't think I've gotten through. So what it is basically is that your project managers have discretion with the budget, within the budget, to give out a bonus to the people that help them succeed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is cool. A great thing.
Their budget is what they're potentially bonusing off. Right. When they start a project, they're expecting all of these bonuses. They're all realistic. They're expecting somewhere on that level to hit some of these bonuses. So that budget's very important to them. But when the guys are doing really good and the customer's happy, they're going back and thinking about Guild Quality. So then they're thinking, I'm going to give these guys a bonus because they're on my next 5 jobs and I want them happy, working hard, making these customers happy. The other part is if they're hustling and they're working really hard and putting out the same product, let me give them a bonus because I'm now under budget on labor anyways. So they have that discretion as well, but they also will do get the customer something and put it on the island of their new kitchen, a big basket or something like that. But they do it as a cost of good out of their budget too, because they know happy customer under budget, I'm good. They have a lot of autonomy with that and they appreciate it.
Now let's explore one of our other guests about this. I can't remember the exact verbiage, but they said something like, what starts out as a bonus becomes expected, you know, down the road. And you just used the term, you know, you specifically said they expect to get a bonus on every job. They expect to hit every one of these bonuses. How do you handle the fact that it doesn't happen? Is it just kind of, hey, you're in control of this and it didn't happen? Or is there anything that you're doing as a company that softens that blow a little bit?
I am glad that they expect it. I'm glad because that means that they're going in with the right mindset. They're expecting to hit all of their metrics.
Now there's a difference between expecting to hit the metrics and expecting a bonus regardless.
Oh, right? They don't respect it regardless, because that's an easy one. Okay. They know, hey, I went over budget. I'm not getting a budget bonus.
That's the key. That's the key to the question right there.
Because it is all metrics based and they have free reign with what they've been given. They know it when at the end of the day, it lands on them. It is their choice. There is their hard work that got them the bonus. It wasn't that we gave it to them. They earned that bonus. So we're never just giving out handouts. And at the second part, if they don't get it, it wasn't anybody else's fault. And that's part of that mentality and the high level accountability that is crucial in having the right people for the right positions.
Yeah. So I've got two more questions and then I don't know if it's good or bad, but we're going to have to wrap this thing up. So the first one is, what do you think is the single biggest benefit to having the bonus program that you have? How would you describe that? In other words, what does it impact the most? Let's go ahead and tackle that, and then I'll got one more.
So I would say first and foremost is accountability. The guys like own it. They're no longer saying it is what it is. They're saying, I've got, like, it is in my hands. The ball is in my court. I am the one who's able to take control and do the best with this. So they're not looking at what was their excuses. There's no more excuses. It's the, it is up to me to make this successful or a failure.
Okay. So if you're going to advise somebody listening in, and it could be a business owner, it could be a production manager, it could be a project manager that's saying, wow, I'd love to get some bonuses. How would you recommend, let's start with a business owner or production manager, they have a little more control of this. What would you recommend to them to kind of get going on it? How would you recommend that they either get going or think about that bonus setup?
Well, first, I guess the first thing would be to just do it. Just to stop the overthinking it, because part of this is, okay, yes, we're looking at GP that we are giving away, but all of this GP is going to benefit the company and it is keeping the right people in the right places and they're here with us. So we have great, we don't have high turnover on our project managers. They love being here, but that it pays for itself. If they're under budget, they're creating that gross profit to pay this bonus structure. If we have happy customers, we have that repeat business that is going to pay for itself. So in itself, don't think about where the dollars coming from. The dollars are there already, and they're going to keep reoccurring as long as you imply it. For someone who doesn't have a bonus structure right away, I would automatically just go start with guild quality and budget. Those are two very easy ones. You look at cost of goods, you know whether you're over or under on our budget. Create that bonus structure real quickly and it's easy. Roll it out to the team. Be very clear about what it is so that the guys know. And don't start on projects that are halfway through already. You got to do it on a new one because otherwise it's hard to measure. And then guild quality is a very easy one. You see the reports. You just say this is what it is.
All right. Well, Doug, I think before the show we were talking a little bit and I told you that we had some pretty amazing podcasts already on this topic. Well, you have just bumped the level up to a place where, given this whole series, I'm just ecstatic, I guess is the word to say about the content. And I really appreciate you taking a little bit of time and being on with us. And I can't wait to hear comments back from folks about this whole series. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. It's an honor.
Tim, I am pretty amazed at how this is rounded out with all of our bonuses and incentive podcasts, this being episode 4. I was worried at some point that there may be some overlap or some repeat topics, but this has proved not to be the case. I think, I'm just blown away at the level of detail and the, a simple structure put in place. And, a really well thought out. And I'm just always amazed at how creative these companies are. Honestly,
yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And I think just to remind everybody out there, this has been in progress for years. What they're doing at Hogan didn't, start up, in June of 2021. And so you talk about the intricacies of tracking it. They've been tracking stuff for for years. And so they have that ability. I just want to comment on a couple of the similarities that came up in all four discussions. One was that money is not the only incentive within a company, and that all four of our guests said, you know, it's not, money's part of it, but it's not the only thing that they're doing. And everybody, and Doug spoke about it a little bit, talked in terms of culture, like what's the culture of the company, and therefore the money is sort of icing on the cake. And then the other thing that every single one of them said, and you is it pays for itself. Yep. And I think that's the thing that business owners and managers need to understand, that well-run, again, jobs have to be estimated properly and so forth like that. But if that's the case, then the bonus structure pays for itself. And so it's not, you know, coming out of somebody else's pocket. It's coming out of the profitability of a job or the company as a whole. So those are the two things that I found to be very, very similar in there. And I think are things for everybody to consider.
One thing I think we've touched on with a number of episodes, whether it's, setting up games or incentives, bonuses, their competition is innate in all of us. And I think that he mentioned that they get very competitive and they want to be better, with themselves, with the team. It's just, it's great to put that in when it can advance the entire team as a whole.
Yeah. And I mean, everybody is thinking budget, everybody's thinking schedule, everybody's thinking client satisfaction. But getting the online reviews, bringing in new clients. And yep, I commented yep. on that as part of the, you know, this is, it's not unheard of, but very few companies really emphasize how important the project manager / lead carpenter is to getting new business in. And then they started this thing with the perfect surveys. And I just love the idea that they upped the game. It isn't $100. It's something that's going to be worthwhile, not just to the project manager, but you noticed all those gifts, a weekend away, dinner in the city, they're going to touch the lives of that family with this bonus. And I think that's something that hasn't come up with the other companies that we talk to, but I think is a key, like, how do you get the spouse, and in most cases, the wife, but or the partner, but how do you get them to love the company? Yeah. You know, they sent us away for a weekend without the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's going to bring some
buy-in all around
within the family. So just absolutely amazing stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. We want to thank Doug Panazzo for joining us again today. And we always want to thank you for listening to another episode of The Tim Fowler Show.
And remember, Doug alluded to it in the show, we're working hard to eliminate "it is what it is" from your vocabulary.
This has been another episode of The Tim Fowler Show. Want to hire Tim and fast track your growth? Visit remodelersadvantage.com/consulting to learn more. And if you'd like more information about roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program, please send me an email at steve@remodelersadvantage.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.